I'm Christine Dean, and very happy to welcome today a band that, you know, although they've been around for a while, this is the first time I've had them in the studio. They might have been in the KMD studios in the past, but my first time. It's Pertnir Sandstone. Welcome, guys.
Hi. Hello.
Very excited to have you here. The studios are not strange to one of you. I know Justin Bruhn here on bass. You actually were a volunteer here back in the day.
Yep, I did the Thursday night installment of The House Is Rockin' in the year 1999.
Wow. Well, welcome back. Welcome. See, and notice how little has changed.
Yeah, it's really exactly how I remember it.
So we have Justin on bass here. We have Nate Sipe on mandolin. And we have Kevin Knievel on banjo. Jay Lentz on guitar. And we have Matt Cartier, on clogs. And we have Ryan Young here on fiddle. And you might know Ryan from Trampled by Turtles, but he also was, you're one of the first members of this band, is that right?
That's true.
Original members. And you've come back and played with them along the way, I think.
That's also true.
Okay. I'm just going to put you on the spot right now at the beginning, just for people. You're the first turtle we've had in the studio. So people have been wondering, hey, what's up with, it sounds like they're taking a little break. What can you tell us about that, Ryan?
Well, have you ever seen that that Eagles documentary?
No, but I should.
You should.
I've seen the Wilco one. Is it anything like the Wilco one?
No, it's more like the Eagles.
All right.
Yeah, you should check that out. That's kind of what's going on.
But you will be back eventually.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. There's just no timeline. All right.
No.
We just want
to
know
your own entrances to the stage.
Right, yeah. We all take our own, 15-passenger vans everywhere. We can't even
but
really.
But don't hit a deer with them.
No.
Did I hear you guys just hit a deer with your big van?
Yep, fortunately, yes. Yeah, we didn't get to keep it, though. It got away. So the van we kept, and now we're looking for a new one.
Oh,
so.
Okay. The hazards of the road. Well, you guys have a show coming up tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth, and it's not just you, but there's who else is playing along with you tonight?
Them Cooley Boys and Black River Review.
And this is a CD release show for you because you have this new album out, Discovery of Honey, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute here. And the show starts at, is it?
I believe it starts at 8 p.m.
Yeah. Yep, doors at 7, show at 8. I see it now. All right, so we're going to hear some tunes, and then we'll come back and talk about the album. What do you guys want to kick off with here?
We're going to start with a tune called Animal Instinct, which we just released a video for as well that you can check out. We filmed it at our festival Blue Ox in Eau Claire last summer. We had a great time doing that and a great time at the festival as well. So yeah, we're gonna start off with this tune.
No deers were killed in the making of this video.
Not at all. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like a stag crossing the road, hot and heavy, carrying my load. I'm after you, what can I do? I see the headlights and I freeze. I'm like a bear out in the woods, big and burly, gathering my goods. I'm after you, what can I do? Step in the street and I breathe. Full moon and a howl.
think about where I've been. I'm after you, what can I do? On my knees, begging please. Yeah.
Animal instinct, I guess. Human nature at its best. Animal instinct, I guess. Human nature at its best. Animal instinct, I guess. Human nature at its best. Animal instinct, I guess. Human nature at its best.
Partner Sandstone live from Studio A, and that's Animal Instinct from their new one, Discovery of Honey. It's only been out for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. A week.
Yeah, just a week. Actually.
A week? Mm-hmm. All right, it's brand spanking new.
So. Yeah.
And that one, so one thing that's kind of fun about you guys is that you, a bunch of you write songs, and the songs on this album were written by four of you. That one was written by Justin, who also sang the lead on that one. And Justin, are you the most newest member of this band?
Yeah. Yep. Matt and I kind of came out at the same time. I would fill in occasionally, but I couldn't do a lot of long, like, 2-week swings. So
nobody could spend a week with this guy in a van.
Typically, I've now convinced them. Sometimes I have to ride on top of the van, but it's okay.
Just strap him down.
But yeah, no, I was filling in occasionally for Adam, and then it kind of roles reversed. I became more of the main bassist, and he would fill in when I couldn't do something, and then now it's just I'm full-time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as far as the rest of you, who's been in the band the whole time?
Yeah, the three of us really are kind of the
Jay, Kevin, and Nate. Yeah, been in the group. Ryan was there initially and is kind of, like you said, filled in here and there, got on tour with us when he wasn't on tour with Trampled. And he actually recorded the album. We went into his home studio and worked with him to produce this, so we're happy to now have him. He got wasn't completely sick of hearing all the songs after he helped us record it, so we've somehow convinced him to play them.
Well, and you've been doing the tour with them too, right?
Yep.
And so now, did you do some recording back at the beginning of the band as well, did I hear?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Their first, like, three, I think.
Yeah.
I did.
Is that something that you do much of these days? Or
nowadays, I do.
Okay.
Back when Pertnir started, I only did Pertnir, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, Justin's other band kind of got me going on recording other bands that I wasn't a member of. And so now I do that all the time.
And you must enjoy that, then.
I do, yeah.
Cool. And then, so you three have been together for quite a time now.
13, I guess.
13 years, wow. I know you celebrated your 10th anniversary
a
couple years back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, very fun. So, you know, some variations with the rest of the band, but you kind of have that core. So that's kind of a good thing. So tell me about this latest album. And you've talked about how it's almost kind of going back to the beginning again in a way. And especially, you know, having Ryan back on board. And so tell me about that.
Yeah, when Ryan was in the band, he's like, oh, man, I just met this bass player. He'd be the perfect bass player for us. And so we said, well, great, what's his name and number? And he's like, well, I don't know. I saw him, but I didn't ask him. Yeah. And then like 2 or 3 years later, Ryan was elbowing me in this little club show that we were playing. He's like, that's the bass player right there on stage. So in a lot of ways, it is kind of everything coming full circle with Justin now actually being in the band. And
oh, so it was Justin.
Justin was the bass player.
It was me.
Yeah, I was at a...
Victor Wooten.
I was at like a bluegrass jam, and we had just gotten our first bass player. And... So I did it at the time. We were looking for a bass player, and we just got this guy. And then I went to this bluegrass kind of jam thing, and Justin was singing and playing bass. And I was like, "Holy crap! That guy would have been perfect for Pertnir Sandstone." But it was too late. We already had a bass player, so I didn't really even like talk to him. You know, I was like, "Well, that's a bummer." And then fast forward a few years, and I figured out who he actually was. I saw him again, and I was like, "Oh, that's the guy." And then fast forward a few more years, he's actually in the band, so it kind of worked out after many, many years, or 13 years or something.
Wow.
Yeah, we sort of like, you know, we're nurtured in the same community, so, I mean, I would see these guys at the Hexagon and the Caboose in Minneapolis, and I don't know. You guys didn't come to my show, so.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
We actually all did, Justin.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We were like, thanks for coming.
We were like touring the country singing your song, man. We would play that. Watoga, we would always play that on the tour.
Yeah, I was in a band called Pocahontas County that is since, you know, we're not together anymore. But, yeah, so we all kind of were born out of the same scene. So, I mean, it was like we're buddies and friends before this even started.
Yeah, so nice. Your question about the album, it kind of was just like, it felt like a really good, I don't know, kind of coming home to the ideas that we started with, you know, as far as the recording process and with Ryan, kind of never, we just feel like we didn't really miss a beat from a chemistry perspective, and like everything was just really fun and overly easy.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our first bass player recorded on this album playing piano, actually on a few tracks, or two tracks, I think, so.
Nice.
Yeah. Sean Roderick, he's a UMD alum as well.
Okay.
We drove past the McDonald's he used to work at.
London Road? Nice.
And yeah, so Justin's, are you a UMD alum? And
I graduated from the Twin Cities campus, but
you spent some time here.
I spent some time up here, yeah. Okay. I love this city.
Okay. Any of the rest of you UMD alums then? Okay, you just know where the McDonald's is.
I would just come up here to party. I guess this is where I'd come to party with the college students.
All right,
here, so, yeah.
All right. It's a great place to party.
Naturally, it's so great, too.
So as I was talking about, so you have several different writers in the band. How does that work when you're going to put an album together? Everybody just kind of bring what they have and throw it on the table and see what sticks? Or
pretty
how does
much.
That go?
Yeah, that's actually exactly pretty much what we do. And I mean, it doesn't stick, but... Oh, so yeah. Well, I mean, we all have our own songs we write. Pretty much, we collaborate, you know, to finish them up. Sometimes we help each other kind of put them together. But for the most part, we bring them together, and then they kind of all gel together when we kind of work them up as a band.
Yeah, I think on this particular project, we all nested down in a hotel in Chicago. And in the course of 3 hours or something, we were like, all right, what do we got for songs? And just, you know, figured out what fit together and what seemed like it was a good fit for the band, and went from there. And a year later we had the album. So.
And why Chicago? Was that just
we just happened to be there. I was gonna say we don't go to Chicago and just for that purpose.
It's gonna be a cool
story.
Start
doing that. Yeah,
we took a private yacht out.
When I think about, you know, the perfect place to write a bluegrass album, I think Chicago in a hotel room.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, real cheap Econo Lodge.
Well, and I think you guys have kind of, you're not maybe all in the same place these days. Is that true?
Oh, correct. Well, yeah, so, we're mostly around the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
I spend half my time in Los Angeles, where I live with my lady friend. So, but these guys drag me back into town as often as they can, and I'm happy to always come back to Minnesota and make music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rest of us are all in the Twin Cities.
Oh,
St. Paul or Minneapolis.
So it's just Nate that's kind of...
Yeah,
there.
He's the weirdo.
Well,
you have to be weird to live in California.
Well, and Nate, I was reading, you've had some adventures in your life. You like to travel, and you did the boxcar thing. And
both Cartier and I actually hopped trains around the country for several years. And hitchhiking around.
And what era was that? Because I don't think it's as easy as it used to be, you know, many years
ago. Post-9/11, I think it got a little more difficult, depending on where you were. But this was like, I was doing it in 90, you know, like 2000, 2001, 99, around then. So.
Yeah, same era for me, probably 98 and beyond for quite a while. Never after 9/11, though, I don't think, but...
Yeah, I just heard terrible stories about people getting thrown in jail for way too long for terrorist charges from getting caught on trains, which is obviously BS, but, you know, it prevented me from doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you had many adventures along the way. Did you bring an instrument with you while you were doing it?
You know, I did. I traveled with a mandolin.
Perfect, because it's little.
Except you can't hear anything when you're trying to play it in a boxcar that's going down the tracks. It's so loud, like you just have to shove earplugs in as far as they go to try to remain sane when you're bouncing around an empty boxcar.
That would never have occurred to me. But I bet when you were not on the boxcar, it was a good way to make connections with people.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the community is driven towards each other. When you see somebody with an instrument, you're attracted to each other to figure out what's going on and see where you're going, and that's where... Some great friends have been made of mine over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful, wonderful. This new album, like I said, a bunch of you guys wrote a bunch of different songs. What do you guys want to do next, and who wrote the one that you're going to do next?
We're going to do a song that I wrote. It's a blues tune called Don't Need You.
All right.
Here's all information.
Line B.
Line B.
Nate was out of position.
Out of position.
Just wanted to check out.
1, 2, 3.
Well, I've loved you since I can remember, and you can't remember even my first name. Yeah, you call me things like buddy and pal and friend and guy. You're always like, hey man, will you watch this for me while I run outside? And I'm like, sure, baby, that's what I'm here for, just to serve you every night and day. Cause the more you do for a girl like that, you know, the better chance that you look your way. Yeah, right, I'll even buy that myself. So I keep saying, I got to leave her, got to leave her, I got to leave her. Saying I got to leave her, who am I saying it to? No, I ain't got a clue why I'm painting myself so blue. I don't need you, don't need you, don't need. And I'm gonna survive. Hold the right, sweet boy.
Sandstone live from Studio A. That's another one from their new one, Discovery of Honey. And all right, Jay, you wrote that one. What inspired that one?
Oh, my new girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You don't need her?
No. Actually, that's a song I've been working on for a long time. And yeah, I don't know. It's kind of inspired from former girlfriends and stuff, I guess, but not really directly anything mm-hmm. specific. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I write songs, I kind of go outside of my own experiences and kind of just come up with a story. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's kind of one of those things, although it does sound kind of brutally direct about, you know, something specific.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, you kind of take those things, personal things, and make them universal, and, yeah, you know, everybody yeah. can relate to that for sure. For sure. So I want to talk about Blue Ox, because that's kind of a fairly new thing for you guys, right?
Yeah, this is coming here. It'll be the third annual.
So you guys are in the Twin Cities, but you're doing it in Eau Claire. How'd that end up happening?
Well, kind of Really by luck. We were out traveling actually on one of the first tours with Matt and Justin out in Colorado, and there was a Wisconsin guy who was living in Denver and had brought his dad out to see us play with the Traveling Mercuries in Telluride, and it's just kind of they're a longtime festival family, been putting on country music festivals for years, and I think the light bulb just kind of went off when they saw like this regional band that had been producing shows all around the region, and you know, they thought maybe they could kind of do something cool like Telluride. They were inspired by the town they're in, which has a really famous bluegrass festival, and we just kind of partnered up with them to curate this festival, and it's been really nice. Fun.
Well, and the names that you've gotten, the bands that you, Del McCrae Band, you mentioned them, that must be really fun just to, you know, rub elbows with all those people.
Absolutely. It's an honor.
Yeah, we got to,
it's crazy. Yeah. It's a dream come true for us, really.
We got to jam with Victor
Sam
Wooden
Bush,
and Bela Sam Bush
Bela
and Bela Fleck, and it's pretty awesome.
That must be pretty amazing. Well, tell me about your year this year. How much did you spend of it on the road?
We did a fair amount of touring, but kind of we were off the road a little bit in the lead up to the new album coming out, and we've got some stuff here kind of scattered throughout the end of the year, and then we'll start touring again in the spring.
Okay.
More seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this album was a couple years in the making, I hear. Is that right?
I'd say probably about a year.
Oh, not that long? Yeah. Okay. That's good.
It took us a while to get
between the albums. It was
between albums. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. But didn't take that long to actually get the album together. And
no,
not since that one fine day in Chicago.
And Ryan's wizardry. It should be noted that he filled in a lot. I mean, we complete these songs, but if you listen closely to the production on the album, you can hear a lot of great things that Ryan Adam, like organ. And percussion, auxiliary percussion that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
So. There's some pedal steel in there.
Yeah.
I always perk up my ears when I hear that.
So. That last track, that's it.
That guy, his name is Bill Quinn. He's like not really famous. Most people have never heard that name before, but he's just a guy that lives in the cities, and he's played on almost every single record I've made at my studio. He's just a guy, older guy that just sits down and plays with, like, you know, Graham Parsons records and just practices. I don't think he plays in really any bands around, but he's just a guy I met, and he's really good, and he's, like, excited to play. So I'm like, hey, I got a Pertner's record. Come on in, and we put him on a couple songs, and then the bands can be like, I like that, or I don't like that. There's been some times where he's done some stuff where we haven't used it, but he just loves to play, and he's been on every record I've made, pretty much.
Well, and when you find a good pedal steel player, you know. How did you meet him?
I actually played in a band with him very briefly. We only played like two shows, and I don't think we ever came up with a full-on band name. We've had we went through a few, and then the band just kind of stopped playing. But it was mostly just, you know, folky covers and stuff like that. He played pedal steel, I played guitar and fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fun.
One of the fun things, I mean, of course it's fun traveling in this band and making music with these guys every night, but it's fun making music in a studio because you can bring in other people, you can add all the little accoutrements, but bring in a lot of good friends. But also having Ryan do it, it's fun because years down the road he'll say, like, oh, I don't know if you ever heard on that track, there's like a belch at the end of it or something, you know. It's like, oh no, really? And then now I can't listen to that song without hearing like this belch in the
I think my cat made it on this record.
Okay.
I can't remember what song it
so
is.
So there needs we'll
like
to we'll have a little game, which who can find the cat on Discovery of Honey. Where did the name of the album come from?
It was actually a name that I was tentatively going to call one of the songs, title the songs Discovery of Honey. It ended up being Nothing I Can Do, which has some allusions to bees and hive and honey. We were sitting in Seattle on a private yacht. We were actually having sushi in Seattle, and we were discussing the album, and I said, man, I can't decide what I want to call this song, Discovery of Honey or Nothing I Can Do, and it just kind of clicked right then and there, like, why don't we call the album Discovery of Honey? It makes sense with Bloom Again as a god of the flower things and Animal Instinct, and it just kind of came together right then. And
then the art easily followed as well.
Yeah, and it's very nice bee. that bee on the cover and the honeycomb on the back.
It's a bee.
It's pretty, for everybody. We're pretty clever, it's a really.
With a honeycomb design.
And you pay tribute to your honeys for tending the hives while you travel the country. That's nice in the credits. Well, we have time for one more, and I actually had made a request, which I don't always do, and this is one that Kevin wrote, because as I was listening to the album today, this is the first song on the record, and it's a really nice song about being able to start again after difficult time, I guess. And yeah. I think it's more about relationships, but it kind of really spoke to me with what's going on right now. So if you guys don't mind doing that one, I would. Kevin, you want since you're get close to the mic, you want to tell me what inspired that one?
Oh, well, it's hard to talk about exactly what inspired it, I guess, but, you know, it's just lots of opportunity to think about rifts in relationships, whether they be love relationships, friendships, family, you know, kind of thinking about how you've got a new opportunity, you know, every day to kind of help something to bloom again and, you know, kind of tend it and take care of it. And so, yeah, it's a hopeful ditty.
I like that. Brittner Sandstone.
It's a banjo, folks.
Partner Sandstone live from Studio A, and first song from their Discovery of Honey album. And we've got you set up with the one microphone here, and that's what you guys like to do live, right? With vocals anyways. You just all old-timey style, gather around one microphone.
Yeah, we first kind of started playing around a single mic, and as you know, the rooms that we played got bigger and they got, you know, louder volume, and later into the night, as people, you know, like to imbibe a little bit, they get a little louder, and so we had to get a little louder, and so we plug our instruments in now, but we still sing around the one mic.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's kind of something that is a traditional, you know, sort of thing. And I think, you know, there's a lot of different bluegrass-influenced bands, and they're kind of along the spectrum of really traditional to very non-traditional.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you guys, it seems like you have a lot of traditional elements.
Yeah, we kind of are straddling the two camps, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's kind of a nice visual, too, when you see a band up there.
I think for us it adds a lot to the stage dynamic and just how we're interacting and body language. And we tried one show, I think, where we were all individually mic'd across the front of the stage, and it felt just like we were all half dead up there.
So horrible.
We decided, like, we got to just do the single mic, and, you know, it brings about the kind of living room jam atmosphere that I think we have in this band working for us pretty well. So.
Yeah, and those harmonies, you know, after years together, you got those things down, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. That's Partner Sandstone. And again, they're playing tonight, CD release show for that new one, Discovery of Honey, at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. And that is coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. And it's also with them Cooley Boys and local band Black River Review. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Today's live from Studio A, but it's produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood, Michaela Moore, Cheyenne Vavrina, and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.